What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah. No, it's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one shot a weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. This is our weekly show. This is roll call number 7, and we're not doing any public service announcements on this one. Let's jump right into what we're talking about today. First, we're going to discuss the charges, give an update on the Derek Chauvin trial. Of course, Derek Chauvin was a Minneapolis police officer who was kneeling on the neck of George Floyd during that incident. So we're going to talk about that, what the charges currently are against him, and my personal opinion on whether or not any of these are going to stick. So we'll get through that. And then we're going to talk about an interesting kind of, you know, in the Star Wars thinking side quest or side story in the George Floyd case, and what that says about where we're at as a society today. That deals with the store clerk that initially was the, you know, the reason the police were called, right? Because George Floyd passed a counterfeit bill, store clerk called the police to deal with that. And then, you know, the rest of the story is history, literally. And then we'll jump into our weekly wisdom. That is about leadership. In this case, specifically bad leadership, may or may not have to do with the last week of my life. But we'll get to that as well. That will be on the member side of the show. So if you're not a member, go to patreon.com. And sign up for one of our levels of membership. The store clerk in the George Floyd case discussion will also be on the member side. So let's jump into it. First, the Derek Chauvin trial. Currently, the charges against Derek Chauvin are second degree unintentional murder, third degree murder, and second degree manslaughter. So I'm going to run through these. I've done this before with these charges in Minnesota. Of course, these are state criminal law. So every state defines these, has different names sometimes for these classifications of crime and different legal language by which then you have to be able to prove that case, right? So if the language of the statute is different, then that is the language you're going to use to try to defend that client or convict that suspect of that charge. So second degree unintentional murder is in Minnesota where the suspect, the person charged, causes the death of another individual without intent to affect the death of any person while committing or attempting to commit a felony offense. And then it specifies that does not include certain levels of sexual conduct with force or violence or by a drive-by shooting, essentially. This crime carries a sentence of a maximum of 40 years in prison. And so let's talk about that real quick. Without intent, that means that Derek Chauvin did not have to intend to kill George Floyd. They will not be able to prove intent. That's why there is no strict second degree or first degree murder charge, right? There's no way that they can prove without Derek Chauvin coming out and saying, yes, I wanted to kill this man, right? That it was intentional. So this is not an intent driven crime. It allows for that margin, right? And it requires though that the suspect was committing or attempting to commit a felony, a violent felony, essentially. So felony assault. Well, that is going to be difficult to prove because there's so much that the defense can point to in this case that, you know, especially with Derek Chauvin's testimony, that I think it's way too easy to explain away that the officer was simply trying to do his duty and was not trying to hurt George Floyd. Now, I'm not saying that there's no argument to be had there. There absolutely is. but to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, which is the standard for conviction, will be extremely difficult. So I don't think we're going to see a second degree unintentional murder charge in this case. The next charge is third degree murder. This one was originally dropped, but then it has been reinstated. And we'll talk about why they're kind of, they've gone back and forth on this. But this one is without intent to affect the death of any person, the perpetrator causes the death of another by perpetrating an act imminently dangerous to others and evidencing a depraved mind without regard for human life. Okay, so again, intent is not required. But they do cause the death of another person. The act has to be eminently dangerous toward others and evidencing a depraved mind. Okay, so was this officer's actions eminently dangerous? That's one of the main questions that they're gonna be talking about. Now, the reason this... let's touch on that first. So eminently dangerous. Would these officers, and specifically Derek Chauvin's actions, have killed a majority of people in the general population? Probably not, right? So is it eminently dangerous towards others, generally speaking? That is, again, that's going to be the debate, right? Police officers know, and this is, so the prosecution is going to argue that, hey, listen, police officers know, even in this department, officers are taught not to leave suspects on their, in the prone position, you know, laying face down while they're handcuffed, because we know in the criminal or in the law enforcement community that this creates a serious risk for that person because it's very difficult to breathe and they can die of asphyxiation, essentially. So that's the prosecution's argument there, right? Knowing this, the officer also should know that he is placing this person in an imminently dangerous situation. The reason they've gone back and forth on this is because that crime, the intent of that law is really designed for when someone it does something where they know that their actions could end up killing someone, but the someone in question is unknown, right? The best explanation of this that I've heard so far is, kids on a freeway overpass, right? Like a walkway that goes over the freeway, throwing cinder blocks off the overpass. This has happened. It's so disturbing when you hear these stories, you know, of some just regular person driving down the freeway and a cinder block or a big rock or whatever comes flying through their windshield and kills them or their family members or you know, whatever the case may be. That is what that crime was, what that law was created for. Or at least that is what I'm hearing out there, you know, in the discussion on these laws. You know, I'm not a lawyer, at least not yet. And so take that for what it's worth, but that seems to be why they've gone back and forth as to whether they're going to charge this crime or not, or level this charge against Derek Chauvin. They are. It is a charge that he is facing in the trial right now. One of the cases that they used to get this charge back on for the trial dealt with a Minneapolis police officer who killed a woman in 2017. So in this case, Justine Damond, she's a 40-year-old white woman, was fatally shot by a black 33-year-old Minneapolis police officer, Muhammad Noor. Muhammad is of Somali descent, and I include that because these days we always include the race of the victim, the civilian, and the officer, because that's the only fair way to do it anymore, right? Because if the officer is white and the suspect is black, or the civilian is black, then that will always be included. And that's not always true when things are the other way around. So basically what happened was this, this woman, Justine Damond, she called in, she thought that a sexual assault, a rape might be taking place. She called the police. When the police showed up, it was this officer Noor and his partner. They heard a noise that startled them right about the same time. This is their story. Right about the same time that Mrs. Damon came up to the side of the cruiser, because, hey, I called the police. Oh, they're here. Right. She's the reporting party. She's trying to report a crime. So she comes up to the cruiser to talk to the officers. Whatever the noise was caused the officers to spook, and Officer Noor, without seeing if there was anything in Mrs. Damon's hands, fires a round out the cruiser window and kills her. So essentially something scared them and he decided to pop a round off, which ended up killing this woman. Now, that falls more in line with the throwing a cinder block off of an overpass, because, listen, if an officer, every time they heard something that startled them and there was someone in the vicinity, fired a round out their cruiser window, if that was the way they did things, that would pose that would present an eminently dangerous act that evidence of a depraved mind, right? Like, obviously that is going to, in the end, someday one of those rounds is going to hit somebody and probably kill somebody. Okay, so that is a gray area for sure. But that is the case that they used to get this charge back on the docket against Derek Chauvin. And again, usually in these cases, the identity of the victim is not known by the perpetrator. So it's the others is the focus there. It's like, okay, you could hurt someone even though you don't know who that someone is. So not sure that one applies so well here. Again, I think this one is more difficult to prove because there are more elements to the crime that all must be proven beyond a reasonable doubt. An act imminently dangerous, evidencing a depraved mind. What does that mean? Right? Like, this, you're talking about a jury here, and only one of these jurors who is not 100% convinced that every element of this crime has been proven beyond a reasonable doubt means it's an acquittal, not guilty. All right. This crime carries a max sentence of 25 years. The second degree murder charge is 40 years. I don't know if I said that. So it's the second degree is 40, third degree is 25, and then the last charge is second degree manslaughter. It's a maximum of 10 years. People will not be happy with this. There will be riots, no doubt, if he is convicted of this. But this is what the charge is. So this is when death is caused by culpable negligence, whereby the person creates, the one charge, creates an unreasonable risk and consciously takes chances of causing death or great bodily harm to another. This one is absolutely provable, I think, and of course, this is the lowest level, so it, generally speaking, is going to be the easiest to prove. Okay, culpable negligence. Is he responsible for his actions? Of course, right? Like, so you have to prove negligence in this case. Again, it's nowhere near intent. It just has to be negligent action. Did he create an unreasonable risk? Did he consciously take a chance of causing the death of George Floyd or great bodily harm? And again, here's the prosecution's argument. Number one, police officers know not to leave suspects in this position for very long. Number two, George Floyd stopped breathing, and they knew this. Number three, George Floyd's pulse stopped. And they knew this. Toward the end of this, you know, the time continues to change as far as how long he was holding George Floyd down with his knee. But toward the end of this, about 9 minutes, the officers check George Floyd's pulse and they don't find one. And yet Derek Chauvin still holds him down with his knee on the back of his neck. So that right there is in my opinion, the silver bullet for this case. If you watch the entire video, these officers are very polite and professional the entire time. The reason George Floyd ended up on the ground is because of George Floyd's actions, not the officers. George Floyd was saying that he couldn't breathe before the officers ever even put him on the ground, or before he ended up on the ground, rather, is probably the better way to say it, because he forced himself out of the cruiser and specifically asked them to put him on the ground. But once he crashes, again, if you watch the entire video, he is manic the entire time, never stops talking. But once he crashes, it's very obvious. Things have calmed down. The officers are just kind of hanging out, waiting for the ambulance to show up. And then they notice he's not breathing. Then they notice he doesn't have a pulse. And yet they do nothing. That is where there is culpable negligence, or does appear to be, and suggests that the officer consciously chose to leave him in that position, even though there is an unreasonable risk that it could cause serious bodily harm or death. That is the argument the prosecution is going to make. I think that's a pretty easy, relatively, in a case at this level, relatively easy argument to win, and to convince all of the jurors that, you know, that the elements of the crime are there. Again, this is a maximum of 10 years. Aside from a first-degree murder conviction, which isn't even on the table, right? There's going to be a ton of people who are going to use this as their example of the pervasive and systemic racism in our system. Because number one, essentially because they don't understand how the law works, and they're willing to ignore that because it makes them feel like they're right. Okay, so that gets to the store clerk in this case, the one that, you know, caused the police to come, right? George Floyd passed a counterfeit $20 bill. Police were called to deal with it, and, you know, the rest takes place. The store clerk had nothing to do with the rest, but of course, the store clerk feels guilty somehow about his decision to call the police. Should he? And how does that relate to what we just talked about with the public's response to this trial? We're going to talk about that here on the member side of the show. So if you're not a member, you don't get that part. You can go sign up and access that ex post facto if you choose. Go to patreon.com, patreon.com for that part of the show. And so if you're not a member, sayonara. We'll see you next time. And if you are, we'll see you here on the flip side right now.